away from the grave. Mulisa begged them for just a glimpse of the corpse, but they wouldn't listen. He kept on insisting till at last they gave in, saying that if he fell ill, he would only have himself to blame. Now Mulana Saab covered his nose tightly and approached the grave. The sight which met his horrified gaze was that it seemed as if someone had cruelly raked the coffin, the shroud of the dead man's body, and it lay crumpled in a heap at his feet. The dead man himself seemed to shrink upwards in abject fear. There were signs of extreme terror on his face too. Furthermore, he no longer faced Qibla as he had done when he had been placed inside the grave. And the revolting stench which was suffocating him was worse than ever before. Now my brothers and sisters, this article that I've read before you, this is exactly in accordance with the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, on the day of Qiyamah, a drunkard shall rise from his grave in such a state that he will be smelling worse than a decaying corpse. A pitcher of wine shall be hanging around his neck, and in his hand will be a goblet, and the space between his flesh and skin will be full of snakes and scorpions. He shall be wearing shoes of fire, due to which the brain in his skull will be boiling. He shall find his grave a pit amongst the pits of fire, and then he shall be a companion of Fir'aun and Haman in hell. This incident was just a reminder. My brothers and sisters, remember, the sin of selling drugs is far greater than the sin of taking drugs, because when you are taking them, you are only doing harm to yourself, and when you are selling them, you are doing harm to hundreds. This was the second point that I'd like to have mentioned. The third point that I like to mention here is that one of the brothers was making a mention that the drug pushers today have started involving our Muslim sisters and started using Muslim sisters to do drop-offs. And these sisters that they are using are portraying a dini image. They wear headscarves properly and have this dini image about them, so that nobody will suspect them that they are involved in this kind of evil. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best whether this is true or not, and I pray to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it is not true. But if it turns out to be true, then remember, there is nothing that can be lower than this, and there is no sin that can be greater than this, to use the deen to commit major sin. As I've mentioned, whether this is true or not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. What is certain is that some of us have dropped so low that we are using the deen image for our cons. There was a woman not so long ago who wore the hijab, and she would cover herself from top and bottom, from top to bottom, and she would make collections knocking on door to door. And she claims that she worked for a very famous Islamic charity. Now the reason, my brothers and sisters, that she wore the hijab was not because she believed that this is what a woman should do, but because nobody will suspect that she is a devious woman. My brother, when you see a woman like this who is observing the hijab, obviously you will give her respect because you believe that she is observing the teachings of Allah and His Messenger, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now as she was collecting one day, she knocks on a door and the guy asks on whose behalf she was collecting. She makes a mention of this charity and he gives her money. Now this guy knew this charity and he also knew the manager. So when he met him, he asked, surprisingly, Since when have you started sending women for collection? The manager replied, we don't send women for collection. Now, to cut the story short, next time round, the sister was caught. Look at the image that she was using for her comp. She was using the deen for her comp. This is not just a one-off. Let me give you another example. Very recently, a man with a beard wearing a jubba, he walks in with two sisters. And these sisters are fully covered from head to toe in hijab, niqab, and they walk in a goldsmith's shop. And this was well planned, it was professional. And these people were professionals. They come in and say, our jewellery was stolen, and we've made an insurance claim, and the insurance has agreed to pay out £10,000, and we'd like to purchase this jewellery from you. The goldsmith was over the moon. Lottery. He didn't suspect anything, and why should he? Because brothers and sisters seem to be practicing Muslims. In spite of this, he asked for some proof. And they present an insurance letter. He reads the letter, and he rings the telephone number on the letter. Now the person on the other side, he was also in it with them. He picks up the phone. The goldsmith asks him. He verifies everything. The goldsmith, happy that everything seems legit, gives them the jewelry, only to realize after a few days that this was a scam. And these brothers and sisters, in one day, did in 2-3 jewelers like this. Again, they used the image of the deen for their cons, believing that nobody will suspect that they are going to do this while dressed up like this. Is this what Islam and the Muslims are about? These people that are using the deen for their cons need to remember, كَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَشْتُرُونَ بِأَهْدِ اللَّهِ وَإِيمَانِهِمْ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا أُولَٰئِكَ لَا خَلَاقَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ ولا يكلمهم الله ولا ينظر إليهم يوم القيامة ولا يزكيهم ولهم عذاب أليم. That in the next life that these people have had it in the Akhirah, Allah will not even speak to them, and on the day of judgment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not even look at them, and in the next life there is a severe punishment that awaits them. What do we have to offer as Muslims? Look at our streets, and you will find two things in our streets. The first sign of a Muslim area is that you will see filth everywhere. Our streets are littered with rubbish, and we will dump everything on the streets. And this is really surprising, because the council themselves have provided wheelie bins for everyone. There's a weekly collection. On top of this, I'm sure that you are aware there is a special service in which all you've got to do is make a phone call, and they will come themselves and they will take all the extra rubbish that you have. When all these facilities are provided, how after this the Muslim areas, our streets are littered with rubbish and garbage, one cannot understand. And the mind cannot comprehend. We have no respect for the area that we live in. Where does this compare with the teachings of Islam and with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It is related that on one occasion, a kafir was the guest of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this kafir at night, he had stomach problems, and thus he ended up letting it all out on the bed. Come the morning, out of shame, he left very early before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. Now on the way, he realized that he has left his sword at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's house. When he returns for his sword, what does he see? He sees the best of creation, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, with his own hands, is washing that bed. The Sahaba are remarking, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, why don't you let us do the washing and cleaning?" He sallallahu alaihi wasallam replies, "No, because he was my guest." When he sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the kafir, there was no sign of annoyance whatsoever on the face of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke very gently, "That you have forgotten your sword. Here, take your sword." When the kafir saw this, and this beautiful character of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is why the Quran says, "Innaka la'ala khuluqin azim." There and then, the kafir recites the kalima, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah," that I testify there is no God worthy of worship, and truly Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. And he embraces Islam and he enters the fold of Islam. When he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on a journey, and he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in need of relieving himself, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would spend time looking for an appropriate place, just like one spends time looking for an appropriate piece of land when thinking of building a house, just to make sure that nobody will be troubled by this. The second thing that you will see in Muslims' areas is, you will see groups of youth standing on street corners. You will see them there in the morning. You will see them there in the afternoon. And you will see them there in the evening, talking, prattling around with one another, swearing, getting a buzz out of swearing. No respect whatsoever for those that pass by. No respect for the Muslim women that want to get to the local shop. Why? Because they're all standing at the corner. Some will be sitting in their cars, music so loud enough that it would shatter the windows. Another car will pull up to the side and they will begin to talk for ages, causing inconvenience to other road users and troubling them. And a white guy then tell them to move or they will bury him alive. Yet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so conscious, in case perchance he sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave taklif to anybody, that Abdullah bin Abi Bakr relates on one occasion that a companion of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was riding on his she camel besides Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, when all of a sudden his she camel brushed against Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's she camel and his sandals onto Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's skin, hurting Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a little stick with him in his hand and he touched him on his feet, saying, "Ke awja'tani fa'akhir anni," that you've hurt me, move back. He says, "Fansaraf." فلما كان من الغد إذا الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يلتمسني قلت هذا والله لما كنت أصبت من رجل رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بالأمس. He says, next day Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was looking for me and I said to myself, I've had it. It is definitely because of the pain and the taklif that I gave to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yesterday. It is because of this. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants to see me. He says, anyway, فَجِئْتُهُ وَأَنَا أَتَوَقَّعُ. I went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, إِنَّكَ كَدْ أَصَبْتَ رِجْلِي أَمْسْ بِنَعْلِكَ فَوْجَعْتَنِي. فقرأت قدمك بالصوت فدعوتك. That yesterday you hurt me, and thus I hit you on your feet, and today I have called you to repay you for what I had done. He says, "Nabi, فأعطاني رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم 80 نعجة بالضربة التي ضربني." He says, "Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم gave me 80 sheep in return of that one hit." Now this is how conscious Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم was in circumstances like this. It is best to avoid these types of gathering and standing around street corners and outside shops. But if we are to stand on the streets and participate in these gatherings, then we have to remember the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to this. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Iyyakum al-julus fi turaqat." The Sahaba asked, "Ya Rasulullah, ma lana buddun min majalisina natahaddath fiha?" Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fa'idha abaytum illa al-majalis فَأَعْطُوا الطَّرِيقَ حَقَّهُ قَالُوا وَمَا حَقَّ الطَّرِيقَ قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم غض البصر وكف الأذى ورد السلام والأمر بالمعروف والنحي عن المنكر. نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم said to the Sahaba رضي الله تعالى عنهم أجمعين, avoid sitting on these pathways. The Sahaba رضي الله تعالى عنهم asked, "Ya Rasulullah, we have no option but to sit and talk. We're used to this." نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "If that is the case, then fulfill the rights of the footpath." They asked, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the right of the path?" Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The right of the path is that you lower the gaze, and when somebody says salam to you, you reply wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. At the same time, you enjoin good and forbid evil." Our areas, my brothers, could be the best areas. They could be the cleanest areas, and they could become the safest areas if we were to act upon the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hassan al-Basri says at one time, such was the condition of the Muslims, لَكَدْ أَدْرَكَنَ النَّاسِ وَأَحَدُهُمْ يَدْخُلُ دَارَ أَخِيهِ وَهُوَ غَائِبٌ فَيَرَصُلَّ مَمْلُوءَةً فَاكِهَةً فَيَأْخُذُهَا يَأْكُلُ مِنْهَا وَيَفْرُكُ مِنْهَا بِغَيْرِ إِذْنٍ فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَخُوهُ وَأُخْبِرْ فَرِحَ بِذَلِكَ. There was a time that such was the condition of the Muslims, that a brother would enter the house of another Muslim brother when he was not present there in his absence. He would take a basket full of fruit, he would eat from it whatever he liked, and the rest he would distribute amongst the poor on behalf of his Muslim brother. When his Muslim brother was informed of this, his Muslim brother would become very happy at his doing. Again, Muhammad ibn Sirin had a mule which he kept tied in his garden. Anyone that was in need of his mule would come. He would take it without his permission, knowing that Muhammad ibn Sirin wouldn't mind. These were Muslims at one time. I think this would be asking for too much for our area. We don't even know who our neighbors are. And I didn't mention the love we have for our relatives and the love that we have for our neighbors. Yet there was a time, as I mentioned, that the kuffar living in a Muslim neighborhood would embrace Islam because of the akhlaq of the believers. I'm sure you all know who Sahal ibn Abdullah Tustari was. Sahal ibn Abdullah Tustari was a great wali of Allah and a great imam of his time. He had a non-Muslim neighbor. Now the hadith states, and Hafiz al-Zahbi has related this in his Al-Kabair, that the runoff from the neighbor's toilet, which contained urine and everything, would flow into Hazrat Sahal's house. Now Hazrat Sahal radiallahu ta'ala used to collect this filthy water in a container, and at late at night he would go out and he would throw it away while no one was observing it. And he did this for years until he was on his deathbed. When he was on his deathbed, he called this kafir neighbor of his and told him to come to his house and see what was happening. The neighbor came inside and he saw that the filth from his house flowed into Hazrat Sahal radiallahu ta'ala anhu's house. And Hazrat Sahal said to him, "For years I have been collecting this by day and I've been disposing of it by night. And now I'm on my deathbed and I'm dying, and I'm afraid of making your fault known to whomever occupies my house after my death. This is the only reason I have informed you of this and I've told you about this. The kafir said to Sayyidina Sahal ibn Abdullah, كَأَيُّهَا الشَّيْخ أَنْتَ تُعَامِلُنِي بِهَذِهِ الْمُعَامَلَةِ مُنْزُ زَمَنٍ تَوِيلٍ وَأَنَا مُقِيمٌ عَلَى كُفْرِي مُدَّ يَدَكْ فَأَنَا أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. O Shaykh, you have been so considerate of me all this time, and you have been dealing with me in this manner, yet I remained a kafir, an unbeliever. Stretch out your hand. I testify that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. A little later, Hazrat Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu had breathed his last. These were the true Muslims, who didn't just act upon one aspect of the deen, they acted upon every aspect of the deen. Aspects with regards to ibadat, aspects with regards to mu'amalat, aspects with regards to akhlaq, aspects with regards to husn mu'ashrat. They had an ajeeb character. Once it is related that somebody swore to Sayyidina Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala an. Sayyidina Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala an replied, كَإِنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينِي فَأَنَا شَرُّ مِمَّا تَقُولُ وَإِنْ سَكُلَتْ مَوَازِينِي لَمْ يَدُرُّنِي مَا تَقُولُ. Sayyidina Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala an replied, if my bad deeds outweigh my good deeds on the day of judgment, then waqi, in reality, I am worse than what you have said and the way you've described me. And if my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, then what you have said with regards to me cannot harm me. A final example: Ibrahim ibn Adam was left for some jungle. On the way, he was met by a soldier, and the soldier asked, "Ayn al-Umran? Where is the habitat?" Ibrahim ibn Adam rahmatullah alayhi fa'ashara ila al-maqbara, pointed towards the local graveyard and said that. The soldier asked the same question, and yet again for a second time, and then a third time, Ibrahim ibn Adam rahmatullah alayhi points towards the graveyard. The soldier becomes very angry. He beats him and drags him to the village. Now when the soldier was informed that this person that he hit was the great Ibrahim ibn Adam rahmatullah alayh, he began to ask for forgiveness and apologize. Now cutting the story short, after the incident, Ibrahim ibn Adam rahmatullah alayh was asked as to why. He said that he was a slave. He replied, he asked me whether I was a slave, and yes, I am a slave of Allah. And when he hit me, I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him Jannah. He was asked, why did you pray for Jannah? For him, when he wronged you and he hit you and he beat you. And he replied, I knew that I will be rewarded because of my patience. It would be unfair, and at the same time, I did not want this, that because of him, I am rewarded by the Almighty Allah, and because of me, he receives sin, and he is punished by the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the character of the believers at one time. Abu Usman al-Hiri was once invited for a meal. The person who invites him is just testing him. When he reaches the door, he says to him, I was just joking. Abu Uthman al-Hiri returns. He calls him for a second time. And yet again when he gets to the door, he says to Abu Uthman al-Hiri that he was joking, and again he returns. He does this for the third time. Again when he gets to the door, he says to him, he's joking. He does it for the fourth time. And yet again, Abu Uthman al-Hiri comes. And all this time, when this person was playing with him, There was no sign of annoyance whatsoever on his face. After this, the inviter went onto his knees asking forgiveness, saying that I was just testing you how beautiful your character is. My brothers and sisters, this were Muslims at one time. The very Muslim that the Quran describes, they were the people in which you could literally see the verses of the Quran in their daily lives. كَيْكَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Successful indeed are the believers. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who would offer their five daily prayers with all solemnity and full submissiveness. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ أَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُؤْرِضُونَ. And those who would turn away from dirty evil talk at all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. And when the time came for them to discharge their zakat, they would discharge their zakat year in, year out. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. And at the same time, they would guard their chastity except from their wives and their slaves. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَأَحْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. And at the same time, they were faithful to their amanat, all the duties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordained, and they were faithful to their covenants. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. And they would strictly guard their five daily prayers. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ. الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسَ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And they are the ones that are the inheritors who will inherit Jannat al-Firdaws, and they will stay inside it forever and ever. I conclude as I began. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the tawfiq to act upon what has been said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the tawfiq to beautify our lives and follow the teachings of the Quran and follow Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sunnah and the ways of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah give us the tawfiq for us to beautify our character in the manner the Quran describes the believers, so that today our character also becomes an inviter to the non-Muslims to Islam, and the non-Muslims living in our areas, and those that do not live in our areas, just by looking at Muslims and their dealing and their conduct, they embrace Islam and enter the fold of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me the tawfiq to act upon what I've said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give you the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.